Welcome to the Social Shift Podcast. I'm Andrew, and I'm your host. Today, we're talking to Rachel Coyce, the CEO and founder of SimpleSwitch.org. SimpleSwitch is an online marketplace for ethical and impactful shopping. They work to get consumers what they want and need while also working to do things like empowering underemployed people, protecting national parks, and so much more. It's the power of positive impact purchasing, and it's what happens every time you make a purchase with SimpleSwitch. Let's get to our conversation.
I just love the way that you phrased that because it brought to mind, I think, the kind of economy that we're creating with this kind of ethical and impactful and conscious shopping brings us back to a time when it was like, oh, I got this dress from the local tailor and I love it because she is my daughter's also piano teacher. You know, just having some kind of story behind these makers, and that is really special. But as far as my personal journey in conscious consumption, I think a big part of it just comes from the way I grew up. I was in a big kind of recycling household, a big household with international connections. So I kind of knew about, I guess I wouldn't have called it economies back then, but I knew kind of about lifestyles and practices of people in places like Mexico and Nigeria that my parents were really good friends with and connection with. So I think that gave me a little bit of a foundation. But what I usually say was kind of the kickoff for me as far as making it my everything, which it is now, was a study abroad trip that I did when I was an undergrad at CU Boulder. And we went to South Africa for 6 weeks and ran a business consulting program for under-resourced entrepreneurs in South Africa. So amazingly talented, huge skills, not a ton of access to market and not a ton of access to kind of the formal education and entrepreneurship that we were getting. So just going and working really hand in hand with them made me honestly really frustrated that this wasn't the kind of business person I was supporting all the time. So things that I was buying at home that I knew, you know, I was learning about things like garment workers dying because of terrible standards of living. I was learning about things like at that time, Nike had some really bad labor issues. I don't know about them recently, so I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus. But I think that discrepancy felt really frustrating, that I knew some amazing business people doing amazing work, and they were not the ones who were available to me as a consumer. So when I came back, I pretty much, you know, made a very, you know, 21-year-old pledge of, I'm just going to only buy from these people, and that is how I'm going to live my life now, and it's going to be awesome. And then quickly realized how difficult that was and how much time, mostly. I think a lot of people have the misconception that it's all about these things are more expensive, and I don't think that's really usually the case, but it does take a lot more time to dive in and realize when, you know, things are fair trade or B Corp, what does that even mean, right? Like, now I've spent years diving into these certifications, but for a lot of people, those things are unfamiliar. Or, you know, knowing what the stitching practices or waste practices of a garment company mean and why do I care, and all those things just took so much time. So another discrepancy that was frustrating is just watching Amazon get more and more convenient, one-click buy, one-stop shop, all these things while I was feeling this frustration. And I'm really thankful, I guess, for the timing on that, because it's what led me to start SimpleSwitch. So yeah, I think SimpleSwitch is my first time having this be my main thing, but I think it's probably going to be that way forever. So
talk to me a little bit about the origin of SimpleSwitch and what exactly it is.
Yeah, definitely. So the idea, as I mentioned, kind of came at this roadblock for me of convenience that was happening with stores like Amazon. They're not the only one, but certainly the biggest and most well-known, that were kind of making it easier for people to buy things, whether it's things that they actually need or want or junk, but often from companies that were exploiting people or the planet or both. So SimpleSwitch is an online marketplace for ethical and impactful shopping. So we have now more than 3,000 products that all have some sort of social or environmental impact. That's everything from fighting human trafficking to using recycled materials in their production, planting trees, serving orphans, like tons and tons of different things that we all really care about and can agree that these are amazing causes that we want to be supporting. But the statistics on, you know, how many people are actually giving to causes like this or charities versus how much is being spent online is huge, huge difference. So if we're able to just put a percentage of the money that we are spending online, and maybe for Christmas gifts or our everyday essentials, you know, we sell things as simple as toilet paper, putting those things toward these causes, I think will really shift that economy and solve a lot of the problems that we all agree are problems that we want to solve.
You kind of mentioned earlier that pricing concerns were less of the issue as people are looking at sourcing and products and things that they purchase. What is the need there that Simple Switch is addressing? Does that make sense? Does that question make
sense? Definitely. Yeah, for sure. So I think that the biggest thing is just taking out the work. So actually, you and I were just talking about how if there's a huge roadblock in the way of someone doing something, we need to get that out of the way so that it makes it easier. And so the market research, you know, that we're seeing is that tons more, especially this year, of our shopping is being done online than it is in other places. And that's so easy. You know, it's through an app. It's just a few clicks. It actually makes it a little bit dangerously easy to spend your money, right? And so we are bringing that kind of convenience to the kind of economy that we want to see that's based around these amazing cause-driven things. So there are, you know, most of our partners have an e-commerce site, but if you have to go to 8 different e-commerce sites to fill your cart, you're probably not going to, for one, find them. They're kind of difficult to find as they're competing with marketing spend against huge, huge companies. So probably not going to find them. And even if you do, kind of time out at a point, you know, if you're going through all of these different checkouts, all these different procedures. So we add the convenience of modern online shopping to ethical and impactful shopping for conscious consumers.
Two follow-up questions there. How many different partners do you have on your website, and what range of products do you guys sell?
Totally. So we just hit 50 partners, which is really exciting. I'm actually hoping to get 100 by the end of the year, which would be a big push for us. It's definitely something I'm trying to focus more on, because that's, you know, one of the value adds of our company is that we have a lot of different types of things. A couple, just to give an idea of what we have. So our top sellers are things that people use every day. So things like toilet paper, things like coffee, soap, shampoo, all those just things that you probably buy without thinking about it at the grocery store. But those products are doing things like building toilets in underserved nations where they may not have adequate hygiene. They are, our soap company has done a ton of donations with COVID-19, but even without this pandemic, they're donating to fight preventable disease through hygiene. Our coffee company gives 100% of their profits to orphan care and preventing the need for kind of unethical adoptions, basically empowering families who may not be able to keep their children otherwise. And then some other things that we just brought on this week include wine. This is really fun and I'm excited to see how it goes. So it's a carbon neutral, actually carbon positive winery in California that they are just really, really focused on fighting climate change because they've seen how much it's changed their industry. And it's canned wine, which is really fun. I'm from Colorado, so it's very like geared toward adventurers and just being able to have it on the go. We just got cat litter that is made from upcycled wood pulp. And there's another cat litter company we might work with that makes it out of walnut shells. So just things that are made out of, you know, really innovative materials. So those are a lot of the, I would say, kind of everyday stuff that we use a lot. But we also have, you know, special gifts, things that are really very like culturally specific. So if we're pulling from like Guatemala, we've got some beautiful like Guatemala craft type of products. We also have really like trendy, gorgeous jewelry, tons of it. There's so much jewelry on the site. And things like electronic accessories, like truly, I mean, barring very specific like tools and car parts, that's the kind of thing that I like don't imagine we probably could push into. We really have a lot of consumer goods. We're trying to get all of them.
That's awesome. That brings up another question that I was kind of prepping to ask, which is, as an e-com site, what is it, how do you, I guess, kind of reckon with the fact that you are shipping stuff to people from places, and how, you know, there are a lot of issues with carbon pollution, packaging pollution, as you ship things places. Like, that's just a huge issue. That's one of the issues that, you know, we see with giant global retailers, Amazon, Walmart, places like that, where their supply chains are massive, and a significant change that they could make is carbon neutrality or reducing shipping materials or things like that. So what are some of the ways that you guys think about your impact as you ship stuff to your consumers?
Definitely. Yeah. I would say that there's kind of, well, the first thing, which is kind of more of like an umbrella attitude about it, is I really like what Plastic Neutral through Repurpose Global once said to me, that their ultimate goal is that there's no plastic produced, right? They're not thinking that their solution is an end goal, because what we don't want is for people to say, oh, now I can make as much plastic packaging as I want, as long as I'm financially offsetting it, because all that does is raise prices and it doesn't actually decrease the amount that's being made. But I think that there is a really cool kind of like stopgap solution that we're at that holds the tension between, we know that people are going to continue buying, and instead of demonizing those people and demonizing the supply chain, changing the way that they work. And so think we're always kind of trying to figure out how to do that better. One of the ways is through climate neutral, which I know you just had Caitlin Drown on the podcast to talk about that. So very, very cool organization. That's one of the ways that we do carbon offsetting. And then plastic offsetting is the next thing. I actually have recently seen a lot of research that depending, so not when you think about Amazon, you know, 2-day prime shipping, but slow shipping, that there can actually be very similar carbon footprint to something like a brick and mortar store if there's slow shipping going on. So if those trucks are allowed to be efficient in their routes, if those packages are able to be efficient in where they're going, that e-commerce doesn't have to be much more, if some studies are showing that it's actually less. So that's something we're kind of trying to lean into, is we don't offer the 2-day shipping for that reason, that we really try to, even in our marketing, not do something that's like, you know, there's only 2 days till Christmas. Go, go, go. You know, that's like, not.
Get it tomorrow.
Totally. That's not the kind of company we want to be anyway. We don't want to be a company that's trying to urgently make everyone buy more and buy faster and those things. That's just not the ethics of what we're trying to do. But that has been a really interesting thing, is choosing not to pursue any kind of faster supply chain, because we actually know that makes more of a carbon footprint.
Do you have any tools inside of Simple Switch with customers to allow them to schedule shipping, or like, you know, let's say they're buying toilet paper or household goods or something like that, you know, do you have a method by which, you know, kind of like Amazon has, you know, the
like subscription?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're actually working on that right now. And I think in the past, we haven't had it, even though our partners have had it, mostly just because it's a little bit complicated with how many things that we ship. But now we're looking at what our best sellers are and seeing if there are things that we can, you know, have people repeat. What we don't want to do is have people, I don't know, we don't want to be sneaky about that. I see a lot of companies trying to like get you to subscribe just so that they can like accidentally get you to buy twice instead of once. And that's not what we're looking for. But we do have people who are, you know, buying shampoo from us every 3 months, and we'd want to make it as easy as possible for them. That's just another way that we can add that convenience. But yeah, I think the subscription should be open for things like coffee, for things like our toilet paper, which we have multiple options there, things like that, shampoo and soap, and allowing people to figure out, you know, how much do I use and how much often should I bring it. So yeah, definitely something that we're hoping to implement very soon.
What sets you guys organizationally apart from something like Amazon Smile, where a portion of what you purchase from Amazon Smile goes to a donation to a charity or organization of your choice?
Yeah, great question. And we get asked it a lot. I think it is so good that Amazon's Smile exists, because with a company as big as Amazon, you want to have even that tiny, tiny percentage going towards something good, right? I don't have a beef with it existing, but I think that it has changed this perception to ethical shopping, like what we are doing, to be, you know, if you give, you know, a penny on the dollar to charity, then that's going to like make a big change. And because of the scale of Amazon, absolutely, if you're buying on Amazon, use Amazon Smile, please. But what we're doing is a lot deeper, because it goes a lot farther back in the supply chain. So it's not, I'm buying something unethical, but at least I'm giving a donation. It's, I'm buying something that really has this impact baked in. And a lot of times that does mean a donation to a good cause, but a lot of times it means something even more impactful than that. I'm really passionate about the idea of charity not being as effective as things like baking a business plan to include this kind of impact. So you think about empowerment through employment is one of the models that we work really, really closely with a lot of our partners. So making sure that in a community that might not usually get a fair wage, going in and doing that, or women who generally return to employment that they're not excited about in the sex trade, or that is actually putting them in a lot of danger, giving them the freedom to walk into a more sustainable business model instead as an employee. And you're not really getting that kind of impact when you're doing something like Amazon Smile. You're just feeling better about the product that is probably perpetuating those problems, right? So it's a hard fight, because I am glad that those things exist. Or when a company like Amazon makes a donation to an environmental charity, and you're like, wow, I'm so glad they did it, because they have a lot of money and they should be giving some of that. But it's also something that I feel tension about, because I don't want people to think, oh, now I should shop with Amazon because they're an environmentally friendly company. Like, they're not. So it's interesting, and it's all marketing and sometimes very manipulative. So
it's one of those things where both things can be true, right? That it's good that they're doing this, but it can also be true that they can and should be doing more.
Exactly. For sure. Yep.
With that, what's one of the ways, or I guess, what are the ways that you are able to verify that your partners are doing what they say they're doing?
Yeah, definitely. Great question. So we have a impact commitment that they have to agree to, and it has kind of our bare minimums. So they have to be contractually obligated to having no unfair labor. So the types of things we have in that section are like child labor or forced labor, unpaid labor, things like that. They have to commit to being good environmental stewards. So for some of them, that is really baked into their business model. For others, it's something that they're working to improve, whether it be their packaging or their production. And then we also ask them to commit with us to improving. So we have this really unique ability to share the strategies of our partners with our other partners. So if one of them just moved to all compostable mailers and they're loving the experience, then we can kind of pass that along to our other partners. And, you know, they are not committed to having to take every piece of advice we give them, but then at least they have access to it and can make those changes more easily. As far as verifying it, a lot of our partners have an existing third-party certification, something like B Corp, something like Fair Trade. And that is something that we really look for as one of the ways that we verify, because those things are super in-depth. If you don't know anything about these third-party ethics and environmental certifications, they're intense and for good reason. Some of our partners don't have something that official, but they do have other third parties kind of verifying in a less formal way that they're making their impact. So we look at things like their impact reports, those certifications, and also things like, you know, their marketing and newsletter even, to make sure that we're kind of keeping an eye on all the impact, and they are obligated to let us know if something changes. So if they stop making the impact, then we won't keep them on anymore.
What are some of the biggest issues that you see when it comes to this intersection of ethical consumption and capitalism?
I think that from my perspective and kind of how it affects my behavior as a business owner, I'm a pretty minimalist shopper. You know, I'm not someone who would say that I'm a big online shopper, which is really ironic. so I think just allowing those better opportunities to be available so that we can shift some of that spending while also trying to shift the attitudes around the consumption as a whole. So like I said, we don't want to be the kind of company that is saying buy more and buy faster. We just actually, the original idea for Simple Switch's name was going to be buy better for this reason. So it was, you know, not buy more, not buy faster, but buy better. And we kind of scrapped that because it sounds like a lot of other business names like Best Buy. And it's kind of, I think, I don't love the call to action of buy. I really like this call to action of switch. And so for the things that you are already buying that you really need to buy, or at least you want to buy so bad that you're going to, it's really great to have this idea of switching to something that's making more impact. But yeah, the capitalism idea, especially recently, I think I've learned, you know, just on a personal level, a lot more about what goes into that and the kind of even, you know, policies and business practices that we have always taken for granted that don't necessarily serve us and certainly don't serve the planet. So just always trying to learn more about how to be a company that stewards that well and helps transition people out of maybe like an addiction to capitalism to something that's a little bit more long-term sustainable, both socially and environmentally.
E-com is, and you've mentioned it a couple of times, but e-com is this massive space and it's only getting bigger and more crowded. And you've got the perennial giants, your Amazons and Walmarts, and every day it feels like there's another new player in the space. So what are some of the ways that you guys have navigated that and also carved your own niche in that growing online retail space?
This is something that I'm thinking about every minute of every day right now, because especially it being an election year and going up to the holidays, and then with COVID, e-com being even more popular than ever, it's been really interesting to figure out how we can even start to compete with some of these big companies who have $1 million marketing budget, and ours is tiny, tiny baby budget. I'm bootstrapping this company and that's all. We've done that in crowdfunding. That's all we've ever had. So that is a unique challenge that we certainly fight all the time. But what is really encouraging to me is that the way that we overcome it is through personal relationships. So we are able to have kind of a band of volunteer ambassadors who spread our name to like friends and family. And then that word travels like wildfire. So instead of forcing Facebook ads in your face, which we still do sometimes, but we try to be chill about it. Instead of doing that, we're able to have you learn from your, you know, friend Kate that she got her company at this or coffee at this company and she really loved it. And with that, any kind of grassroots effort that we can do, I think is going to be more effective, but it also feels like it goes along with our ethos just a lot better. And, you know, we're always trying to compete in the digital marketing space as well, but it's one way that we know that it's very, very pay to play and it's never going to be our main bring in of new customers. So yeah, it's an interesting, good question. I don't think I've been asked that on a podcast before, but it is something I think about all the time.
I feel like you kind of have to, since it is very much the space that, that you live in, the space that you operate in.
Definitely. And I think that brings up a good point also, maybe for listeners who, that's the first time they've heard about, you know, the way that small companies have to compete with large corporations, because it's certainly not something I had thought about much before. There are so many ways that you can help small businesses that you love. And this is something I've become super diligent in with other companies that I love, whether it be our partners or even like makers in my own life, like people who are selling on Etsy. A few super, super simple ways that you can help are liking posts. And recently the algorithms have changed that if you save posts, that actually really helps, because people are saying, oh, like this content is so valuable that they wanted to save it to look at it. So I actually have a folder on my phone that is just for saving like things that I don't necessarily need to save or think I'll look back on, but companies that I like really care about and want to help support. And doing those kind of things, even if you're not going to buy, can really, really help boost the visual, the, yeah, just the way that people are seeing it. I'm blanking on the word, but
engagement.
Engagement, yeah, for sure. Engagement of those posts, and really, really help people like me who are small business owners, so.
What's the end goal? I mean, where do you see this going? You know, you said you've got 50 partners now and you're aiming for 100, but like, where do you see this end of this year, end of next year, 5 years from now, yeah, 10 years from now?
So people all the time, which is, you know, it should be a big compliment, but I have dissonance about this, are like, oh, I'm so excited, I'm talking to the next Jeff Bezos. And that's like not at all the goal. And the size, sure, like that would be fine if we were able to continue to scale in an ethical and sustainable and impactful way. Great. But when people ask me, a lot of times I will give kind of the sassy answer of change capitalism. And that is no small goal. So it's definitely needs some breaking down and fleshing out and tasking out. But I think for me, I believe that we'd already talked about capitalism, and I think there's so much to dive into there. So this is pretty high level, but I think that conscious capitalism could do some really, really beautiful work. And I think that the infrastructure has already been put in place for us by companies that maybe aren't as conscious. So as far as, yeah, getting, you know, we have sales goals, obviously, that allow us to run and be a business. Like we're hoping to triple our sales this Christmas that we had last year. And not because we're getting we're not trying to milk the people that we already have dry, but that we get in front of more people who already are going to be buying things and start to buy from us instead. So very excited about this end of year. As far as 5 years, would love to be kind of just on a more national stage where people know that we exist and know that they can turn to us, because then our job will be education, as opposed to just marketing, which is so much more satisfying, but it also allows us to be changing the conversation. So once we're known by people, then we can start to convince the people who don't understand the impact of their purchasing and start to educate them, as opposed to just trying to get in front of their face. Long term, I would love for us to have, I think it'll be interesting to listen to these interviews later and see kind of how this works out. But long term, I would love to have a consulting arm. I really, really enjoyed that business consulting that we did. And I would love to have an infrastructure so big and a network so big that we could reach down to companies who are too small to be selling at an infrastructure level that we are, and kind of raise them up and increase their sales, which then increases their impact, both socially and environmentally. But I also want us to have a consulting arm that can reach up to corporations who have that infrastructure and are selling, you know, in amazing quantities, and help them change their business model to be more aligned with conscious consumerism and ethical shopping. I think that a lot of companies are headed in this direction already. So my ideal thing for Simple Switch would be not only that people are shopping from us, but we're able to really, really change the attitudes and behaviors of other companies around us.
On that note of education, or educating the folks that purchase from you now and in the future, and in addition to just simply using Simple Switch, if you'll forgive this pun, what are some simple switches that we can make, that consumers can make, listeners can make, as they continue to buy things, as they engage in, you know, consumerism, as they engage with capitalism? What are some of those simple switches that we can make to be more conscious, aware, effective, impactful with what we buy and the companies we engage with?
Absolutely. I really, really love to live by the quote that is by Maya Angelou that says, do the best that you can until you know better, and then do better. And that is, I think, the best advice that I can give anyone trying to pursue this more ethical, conscious consumption lifestyle, because there is so much to know. I have been pretty much exclusively researching this stuff for 5 years, and I'm still learning new things every day. So my big advice would be not to kind of try to take it on all at once and start to make small steps. The same way that we learn to wake up earlier in the morning or learn to drink more water. Like, these are really small steps that we need to, if we're going to do them sustainably. And I don't mean that, I think that word has come to really reflect eco-friendly sustainability. And I mean, if we're able to sustain these behaviors, then they really need to be something that is built into our lives. So a few kind of just super easy tips that you can start with is, if you are going to buy, so once you've gone to Simple Switch and found that you can't find the thing there, you know, if there is something really niche that you can't find with us and you do need to buy it on Amazon, I really like, for one thing, ditching your Prime 2-day shipping. Unless you really, really need it, it is so much better for the environment to not do it that way. And it's actually also often easier on the sellers. The next thing I would say is, unfortunately, Amazon, because their infrastructure is so massive and their data is so massive, a lot of times they are exploiting partners, whether that be low margins, but it can also mean they can kind of create competition for partners that kind of forces them to do business differently. There's a lot of super bummer things I've heard from my partners about the way they've been treated there. So if you find something you need on Amazon, actually going to look at who is the seller and going to buy it from their website instead can help to kind of move some of the traffic away from this thing that they have to be a part of to the way that they're actually doing business. I mean, I could go on and on about sustainability switches, but my biggest advice is composting. Number one, because I think it's really fun. It is fascinating that, you know, all of the food scraps that we have are meant to go back into the earth and then create. I'm a big gardener, so compost has so much more nutrients and helps plants fight bugs off and just grow bigger and better. So you can do that in a lot of different ways. If you're in a county where they have compost pickup, that's the easiest, obviously. You can also do worm composting, which I've done several times and have loved. If worms freak you out, don't do it. But it was super fascinating to just see kind of how the natural processes work. And a lot of the waste that we create that goes to landfill is food waste. And it's just really interesting that it isn't really even a net zero impact or landfill. It's like we could either have a bad impact of having it go to the landfill or a great impact of having it regenerate our earth and actually kind of draw carbon out of the atmosphere. There's just incredible information about composting, and it doesn't have to be too hard. So I'm very passionate about that. Those are a few examples, but we all the time on our podcast are talking about these kind of things, you know, just diving into the stories behind things like composting, but also the things behind like the stories of our companies, so you can learn more about it. And then we also are more and more trying to put out really good blog content on this if you're looking for it. So you can definitely check that out on our website if you're looking for more tips.
How do people find Simple Switch online to start switching their purchases over?
Yeah, I hope that this has made everyone really riled up about, you know, changing small habits in their life. And one of those things could be shopping. So if you're looking to shop, simpleswitch.org is the place where you'll find us. If you want to look for us on Facebook, we're facebook.com/simpleswitch.org. Instagram is instagram.com/simple.switch. And we also have a podcast. So if you want to check us out, we're probably on all the platforms that you are listening to this podcast. Currently, it's just called the Simple Switch Podcast. And as a little bit more, you know, motivation, I would love to offer a discount to anyone who's made it this far in the episode. You guys can take 20% off your first purchase on Simple Switch. Let's do code social shift. And you guys can check us out and get a, you know, low risk first experience with us.
Last question. What are you hopeful about?
This is such a good question. A lot of things are coming to mind. I'm trying to decide which direction to go in.
Go all of them?
Okay, great. The first thing that comes to mind is I'm really travel oriented. I love getting to know new cultures. I've been to 28 countries at this point, which I'm 26. So that's a lot of countries to go to in my lifetime. And we started visiting our partners. So that's in some ways, one of the ways that we check and make sure they're having the actual impact that they have. But more than that, it's just to create that personal relationship, get to know them. I've cried on several occasions seeing the amazing impact that's happening from our partners. And last year decided that I was going to start taking our customers with me. So instead of just going on my own, bringing groups of around 10 of our customers and fans to meet these individuals and learn from them and, you know, just really humbly understand the amazing impact that they're having, why it's needed, what we can do to kind of shift the conversation here in the United States. If it's an international, we'll do domestic visits as well. But that's been a really big bummer to have that be canceled this year. And so I think we just had a big crowdfunder and we had 10 people pre-sign up for those trips, having no idea where we'll be going and put down deposits. So I'm feeling really hopeful about those trips and just how much we're going to learn and how much those conversations are going to impact all of our lives, because that is just something that I've seen firsthand and love and miss, and can't wait to just meet my partners in person again. It's been a lot of phone calls, which is great. But, and then I have also been pretty hopeful recently about environmental policy. I'm a part of a few kind of coalitions or groups for business owners who are trying to just find environmental solutions. And one of those ways is advocating for strong environmental policy that will serve businesses and our economy, but will also serve our environmental future. And that is something that one of my dearest friends is one of the leaders of one of those coalitions. And she's been telling me about the updates that we're seeing here in Colorado. And it's just making me feel hopeful, because it's a lot of solutions I would have never even considered being possible that are now like all I can talk about. I'm really excited about them.
To find out more about Simple Switch and to get 20% off your first order, go to simpleswitch.com and use code SOCIALSHIFT at checkout. The Social Shift Podcast is a production of Third Shift Creative. Check us out online or start a conversation by sending an email to hello@thirdshiftcreative.com. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Social Shift Podcast, and we'll see you next time.